one. I'm on regular now.
Oh, my God.
That is better. Is it going to hurt your hand if you have to hold it
while it gets your brain?
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff,
and I'm not drinking tonight. I do have some tea, and it's not a Long Island IPA,
but I'm on the mend. Apparently, I've got an infection in my intestines, and I'm on a liquid diet and like soft white foods and stuff like that, and it sucks. You'd think I'd lose weight, but it's a bunch of carbs, so I'm not.
Right in the heart of crawfish season, too.
I had crawfish 3 times in 1 week. I think that might have contributed.
Yeah, look, I had crawfish once last week, and it was the first time this season. It wrecked my digestive system for like 4 days.
Yeah. I really don't think it was the crawfish. It's probably like the ibuprofen I've been taking.
Right.
Anyway, all right. Several changes have affected the roster since our last episode. We're going to surely discuss those, and also this week's episode is going to feature a special first-time appearance by a certain 2-time Pick'ems champion. Saints Twitter is losing its most credible source of information in Nick Underhill. Jason continues to watch Marvel movies and Game of Thrones in preparation for an epic cinematic experience, and we've got a few tweets to read and respond to, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 1. Got some Gentleman Jack. So just doing a little sipping on that. Not gonna get too crazy. I got Jax has a puppy training in a couple hours, so can't get nuts.
You getting some Gentleman Jack for Gentleman Jack's training? See what he did there?
Yeah. Right. Oh, he's no gentleman. That's why he needs the training.
Not to bite, huh?
Or bark. Right.
Or bark during the podcast. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling all right, Jeff. Can't complain. Yet.
All right. That sounds good.
Yet.
You will when we get to the player moves.
That's right.
And like we said, first time appearance by special guest Houdat Fitz. You are the winner, not once, but twice, of Pick'ems in the larger league. I won Pick'ems this year between the three of us. But you've won twice now, and because you've won, you've earned a spot, a guest spot on the show. Welcome to the show. Are you drinking? Do you have a number?
Unfortunately, I'm a 0. I gave up drinking for Lent, so I'll be back on Good Friday.
That's what I should have done. All right. Well, how you feeling? You feeling trepidation about the moves here? You getting a little nervous?
I was a little nervous until we picked up Easton. I think he'll be serviceable.
Yeah, I saw that today. All right, well, before we get really into it, Glenn, tell us a little bit, if you would, about yourself so we know. Are you born, raised New Orleans? Do you live in New Orleans? Or what made you a Saints fan?
So I live in Harahan now, but my parents were actually from Chicago. So they tried to get me to be a Bears fan as a kid, and I knew better than that. Kind of grew out of that, around high school, became a Saints fan in the Army National Guard. So I deployed with a lot of Saints fans, and one of my best buddies out there, all we did was talk Saints for a whole year. And the first thing we did when we got back was get Saints season tickets, and that's been since 2006 now.
Oh, what's up? Okay, so you did become a Saints fan before 06.
Yeah, yeah. I was high school back like 02, like basically late 90s. The Jim Haslett era.
And that's a hard time to become a Saints fan.
Yeah.
Except for 2000, I guess. All right. And so you're in Harahan now. So you're an active member of the New Orleans community.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I think what was it? We tried to get you on a couple weeks ago. And you were going to, was it Orpheus or something?
The Orpheus Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. How was that?
Yeah. Me and the wife do that every year, so it's always a good time, a lot of drinking. My last good drinking before I give up drinking for Lent, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're going to have to purge your system. All right. Anything else? Jason, Damien, y'all got any questions for me before we get into the show there?
Nope. Thank you.
All right, well then, let's get to it. Fake news. Did we talk about Ingram last time? I don't remember if that had happened. I don't think it had, because I think we were talking about, like, if it would happen.
Yeah, correct. No, last time we recorded a show, he was still here.
Okay.
Or where there was a possibility, you know.
So there's your biggest headline, I think, is the fact that he's gone since then. I know we've all pretty much discussed it in one form or another. We did have a few questions on Twitter at the time about whether or not you felt, I mean, how did you feel about it? I mean,
well, I'm disappointed for a lot of reasons. Look, I had said back during the season, man, we have to re-sign him. We can't let him go. Not just for what he does on the field. And again, how many times I've said this over the last couple of years? He's a perfect running back for our Sean Payton team. You go back, look at his yards per carry. It's around, you know, five, the last 2 years, it's been 5 yards per carry. That's what Sean Payton coach team needs, because you're not going to get fed the fucking ball 20, 25 times. Also, you go back his entire time here. You go look at any picture of Mark Ingram, and he's just happy, smiling. I think he's wonderful for a locker room. So I think it's a huge, I really think it's a big loss. And then maybe we can go into it a little bit later. He only got $15 million from Baltimore for 3 years. You know, I don't know why the Saints couldn't or wouldn't have matched that.
Well, the guaranteed money was different. Baltimore offered him more guarantees. But I think at some point, Saints are like, hey, here's what we're going to offer you. And they thought they were getting six or seven a year from Baltimore. So we couldn't afford to wait around. We scooped up Murray, and then with no leverage, Baltimore's like, well, shit, our biggest competitor's down. We'll offer you five, and you'll take it. You know, it's the negotiation, it sucked. At the end of the day, it sucks that he signed for a price that we probably could have and would have kept him. But that's part of negotiations, I guess. And I think Murray can give us, on the field, I think Murray can give us pretty much what Ingram gave us.
Well, is Murray a better fit for this style of offense than what Ingram was? Damon, I think you were talking about Ingram is the kind of guy who does better the more he touches the ball throughout the game.
Well, they say every running back. I mean,
every running back gets into a rhythm. But, I mean, I feel like Murray's always had to kind of split his time wherever he's been. Unless an injury has occurred, he's always had to split with somebody. And, I mean, his stats are okay. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off on the field. Now, it sucks we're not going to get the Kamara Ingram interviews anymore. Like, that sucks. Because that's just fun for us.
I wonder how much of Ingram leaving is a little bit of that where he wants to be the one guy. He doesn't want to show. I mean, Ingram was the guy, and then here comes Kamara, and Kamara's the spotlight. I mean, he is the attention getter. And I always did have this in the back of my head that I wonder if Ingram has this kind of, yeah, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to support the guy. But, you know, when he goes home and he's alone with his thoughts, he's like, man, I wish I was the one guy. You know, he wants all the attention.
Well, and I wonder, too, if some of it is or the Saints being like, hey, look, Kamara's the Ferrari. Let's let him out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's got to be, you know, with signing Murray, he still doesn't have to be a 20-carry guy because you're going to wear him down. So he still doesn't have to do that. So it sucks losing him because I think, you know, Ingram loved being here. He loved being here. He bled black and gold. He hated the Falcons like we did. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's the shitty part of it. But, I mean, it's sports.
Glenn, what's your take on it?
I think Murray will do pretty good. I've heard he has a little less wear and tear. He's a little bit younger. Just based off of touches, he hasn't had as many touches. So I think Murray will do pretty good. I mean, obviously, I hate to lose Ingram. He was one of my favorite Saints. But I hear Murray can't dance either. They talked to him in a little interview the other day. They said he's not bringing any dance into the locker room. But none of that matters as long as he's scoring touchdowns.
I didn't know he was white. He's got moves like me. Nah.
I think he brings a lot to the red zone, too. I don't remember what the numbers were, but his touchdowns in the last 3 years are ridiculous. He kind of turns it on in the red zone.
I did hear that, too. And that could have been, you know, the Saints might have had their eye on him, right? When that made it easy to reject Ingram's crazy offer or request. And that was the other thing. How much did Ingram ask the Saints for?
I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to come out, but
versus
I think
what he signed for in Baltimore. The $500,000 difference was the big number that everybody was talking about. And it's kind of like, did his agent screw him over? Or, I mean, what happened? Or he just, they overplayed their hand or something.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's just all. Poor negotiation.
Right. Opposite of what Jason heard. I mean, right. What I heard is right. They were asking for eight, and I'd like to know what the Saints actually offered. We'll never know.
That's what you're never know, yeah. All right, let's move on to, another depressing move where Unger announces his retirement. But Fitz, like you said, up until the point that Easton came, it was sad news. But now that you see Easton, and he is he's signed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's signed.
Yeah.
Now, Easton didn't play at all last year because of a neck injury.
So he's rested.
I guess he doesn't have a year of wear and tear on his body, so I'll give you that. Trying to come out with a positive.
And he played with Murray. This is the Murray connection. Well, he didn't play with him, did he?
At least not last year.
He was in the locker room.
I mean, I hope it works. It sucks that Unger left. I mean, it was kind of when it happened, it's like, holy shit, what? Like, it was shocking, but, I mean, he's played 10 years, and it's kind of the thing you're seeing a little more now with guys is if they're injured or if they're worried about head injuries, if they made enough money to be okay, they seem to be retiring a little earlier. You know, you're seeing that more a little bit. So you start to think about it like that. It wasn't as, I guess, surprising. And now he came out and said, you know, I mean, and he did deal with some injuries last year, and I mean, I don't, you know, it sucks to lose a rock like that. And I hope to God that Easton can come in and play all right, because that'll be a big problem if he can't.
All right. He's relatively young if he, you know, because he didn't play last year. He came in 2015, 15, 16,
17,
18, 4 years.
Theoretically, if he comes in and plays more, you're getting him at his prime. And if he can do the job pretty well, it's not a hefty price tag to pay for him.
Right. And then he's competing with Cameron Tom
and Clapp.
Oh, clap too. I thought you were making a joke about an STD.
Not this week.
Every time that boy had, every time I hear his name, I think the same thing. Clap. You know, that boy had, that had to be tough growing up being him.
Yeah. All right. Anything? Anybody else got anything to say about Unger and Easton?
With these, you know, with these two departures, again, it sucks that we got fucked this year.
Oh, well, if you want to be, yeah. Oh, look, it's over. It's done, Johnny. It's over, Johnny.
Well, yeah, add on to the
fact.
Hold on.
Onyemata's gone.
Door's closed.
The window's closed. It's not
window's closed.
Closed. Not closed.
It's nailed shut.
Yeah, but the, all right, you lost.
Look, the same chances of winning the Super Bowl is like Jason winning the beauty contest. It ain't going to happen.
Depends who's the judge. If I get good referees, I got a good chance.
Fidel, that has internet issues. All right. All right, we talked about Murray. Then let's talk about some positives. Lutz signs a 5-year deal, so we're going to have the best special teams in the league.
No, that is positive. Oh, it combined or what did we sign? I didn't even.
Orsted's got a pretty hefty deal, if I'm not mistaken.
He does. But what did Lutz say? I mean, did Lutz one of the? Did we make him the highest?
I thought the rumors were he was, if not the highest, then one of the top like three highest paid kickers.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's kind of ridiculous.
It was, but he's been pretty reliable these last 2 years.
No, he has.
Yeah, but we can't afford that.
Hey, Loomis finds a way, man. That's what he does.
What do you think, Fitz? You like the Lutz deal?
I'm just glad we don't have a revolving door at kicker anymore. You know, that he's been money since we've had him, so that's I'm happy about that. And no matter what it costs, it feels good to have that at least.
Didn't he miss a kick in the NFC Championship game?
I think he did.
Yeah, was it maybe like a 50-something yard?
Yeah, well, what game wouldn't have been tied if that? Morton Anderson.
I think it was like 52.
Morton Anderson would have made.
Well, Morton Anderson didn't have as much pressure on him because we didn't have the stakes. We were fighting for 8-8 with Morton.
Morton Anderson
kicked in the early 90s in all four playoff games. Didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. He had
Morton stakes. Morton Anderson kicked
in. He had a steakhouse, didn't he?
Yeah. No, he. It wasn't a steakhouse. It was a burger joint. Yeah. But Morton Anderson kicked Atlanta to the Super Bowl. Against Minnesota. That was pressure.
What, you going to sign Morton Anderson, Damon?
I bring back Morton. Make America great again.
Jesus
Christ. Make the Saints great again.
Oh, God. All right. Let's see. The next one is Bridgewater signed to another year. Now, these one-year deals with him.
Terry.
That's right. For all you in England, it's Terry.
He's the best backup policy we got right now.
So let me ask you this. All right, let's play a little game here. Fast forward to 2020 season, and let's say Breeze retires. And you now have Bridgewater. Do you re-sign him, or do you stick with Taysom Hill, or do you go after a third party that yet to be named and known of? Let's start with Fitz. What do you do?
I think you got to go with Bridgewater. I mean, he's shown in the past that he could be a good quarterback, and he's going to have 2 years under his belt to learn the system, kind of learn everything from Drew. At this point, you got to see what you got at least. And so they're going to, I think after this year, they'll give him a long-term contract. They're just waiting for the Breeze money to come off the books.
But why do you think then that they're only signing him to 1 year at a time?
Because they can't afford to sign him with all the Breeze money. I don't think they could really.
That's true. You're right.
He's probably not going to want to do a long-term deal that's not like quarterback money right now, you know?
Good point. Yeah, I never even thought of that. That makes a lot of sense. So then they're holding on to him because they believe he's the guy.
I think Sean Payton said something the other day. They were asking him who was something about a quarterback, and he said that he's already got his guy in Bridgewater, but it might have been at the combine or something.
Oh, shit, 2 years in the system is pretty good. I like that.
I agree. He's had a chance to show that he can be a legit starter in the league.
I mean, I don't know if he's the answer, but he's worth the shot at least, you know.
Well, and like we've said on the show many times, Damon, you've said it too, is like you can't expect somebody to come in and be Drew Brees. I mean, that's unrealistic expectations. What you need is you want a good quarterback. You know, you don't want a Blake Bortles. But you, I mean, I'd be happy with a Flacco even, you know.
Flacco's too old. I mean, but I
no, I'm not saying, the talent level.
Literally, right. Not literally Joe Flacco. But.
Right. The best.
No, you're right.
When Joe Flacco was at his best, he won a Super Bowl. Actually, he wasn't at his best at that point. He managed the game. I mean, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, remember. You don't need the best in the NFL.
You just need the best defense.
That's true. And that's maybe what they're... All right, so Jason, you agree Bridgewater seems to be...
He's the guy they're gonna run with. I mean, even if Breeze retires, they keep Bridgewater around. I still think they'll draft a guy because they kind of have to, but... I mean, I guess he's your best option right now. It's not like the Saints have draft picks this year to waste on a quarterback. So, I mean, they really didn't have a choice.
Yeah. All right, Damon?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Jason kind of summed it up. He is probably the best option you have now.
I'm okay with that, right? I mean,
Sure, and look, I think also, and when we talked about it, I don't know, sometimes probably last offseason, you look what Philadelphia did 2 years ago, where, you know, asshole went down and Big Dick Nick stepped up and won him a
Super Bowl.
You know, yeah, exactly. if I have a kid, I'm going to name him Nick. Yeah, because it's a good rhyme. I do have a great nephew that's name is Nick, but he's too young now. He's like 5. I'll wait till he gets about, you know, teenager, then I'm going to start calling him that. But anyway, so we have a pretty competent backup that's more than just a game or two, you know, game manager, where maybe that's what or the other backups have been, you know.
Did you say game manager?
Game manager.
Yeah.
You know, if... God forbid something happens to Breeze. I mean, and you give Bridgewater some time in there. I think he's an average quarterback. I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's bad.
So I mean, we all know whoever's after Breeze is. I mean, that's so much to live up to. And it,
oh yeah, no, I mean, again, know, look at Miami.
You have to factor that in too. Like it ain't happening.
Look at Miami and Dan Marino. In 20 years, they still ain't replaced him.
So there's gonna be a letdown anyway when Breeze retires. So no matter who's in here, nobody's ever gonna match up to Breeze.
No one's ever gonna match Breeze ever in the NFL. I mean, it's a little hyperbolic statement, but yeah, you're not just trying to replace a great quarterback. You're trying to replace the greatest quarterback. Okay, so your expectations may even be too high if you're just thinking about replacing a great. But I tell you what, you don't need to be the greatest in the history of the game to win the Super Bowl. And that's the other thing is you don't have, it's like we've had the best. Dana, you told us this back when we were in high school. It's like, you know, you have sex with a supermodel, then you should never have sex with a supermodel because then having sex with anybody else after that is just a letdown, right? So that was Damon's advice when we were in high school.
Apparently, you know, I should have been more careful with what I told you. Y'all remembered everything. I didn't realize I was fucking laying down knowledge here on motherfuckers. They were just fucking hanging out, you know.
It was yeah. Anyway, all right. Next, last piece I've got here is Jared Cook. What's the deal with that?
Well, we kind of need a tight end. We'll see what his price is. I mean, with Unger's retirement, at least we did save $7 million on the cap. Now, we used some of that on Eason, but we got a little more cap space than they had. Oh. But that is – I mean, I still thought they would draft a tight end, but now – I mean, I don't know. It's a shame we don't have a lot of picks. It's not like you can just fill them in the draft.
No.
So, I mean, he had a pretty good season on a shitty Oakland team last year, so I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of demand. I mean, I feel like he'd fit in well here, but I wouldn't go nuts. I wouldn't overpay him.
That's the thing, right. You definitely do not want to overpay this tight end.
Or pay him like a wide receiver.
We have a little history there. What is what's taking so long, you think, that maybe we know that there's a couple other players that might leave the roster, making a little extra room, though, to make room for an offer that will secure him? Or what is taking so long?
I just see what the market dictates. You know, usually the first week of free agency is crazy money being thrown around, and then everything kind of settles down.
Right. That is correct. When did free agency start? Was it last week or the week before?
Well, it's weird because you got that weird tampering period. So you got 3 days where these players and the teams agree, but you can't officially sign for 3 days. But all the news comes out now in the tampering period. So, I mean, I think it was like almost a week and a half ago at this point. Like, I think actual free agency was like March 11th or 12th.
Well, it was March 1st, 1993, actually, is when free agency was introduced to the NFL.
Oh, thank you.
But no, seriously. I mean, if we get Cook to sign, I mean, are all of the holes filled, or you have a little concern that wide receiver still? Because didn't Tommy Lee Lewis leave today? He went to Detroit.
Well, it's not like you shouldn't be worried about him. I mean,
he was the key to getting to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, if the call would have been called right.
Yeah, so I'm not upset that he's in Detroit now.
I mean, some of that also goes back to, don't forget, we still got Cam Meredith. So, I mean, look, I don't know what he's going to give them, but if he comes back from injury, that's a boost that nobody's really talking about, right?
Correct. I mean, look, that... this is really one of the things I wanted to say tonight. Everybody, you know, I've been reading, you know, online this stuff, and they say, oh, you know, wide receiver. And no, I think the Saints are counting on Meredith and the asshole we drafted. Traquan Smith. Right. Do not expect us. I do not expect Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis to go after some big-name wide receiver. I think they're looking at those two guys to come back and team up with Michael Thomas.
Yeah. And you still got Ginn.
Okay, then I'm not too...
Yeah. So the wide... Yeah, I do not... Kirkwood... That's the way I... Right.
Go ahead.
Kirkwood showed some promise. Yeah, he showed some promise towards the end of the year, too.
This is
correct.
True.
Yeah, so again, I do not see the Saints in my... Like I said, that I don't even think wide receivers on their radar.
Good. All right. Well, then, and we got Coach. What's his name? Curtis. What's the wide receivers coach name?
Curtis Johnson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Curtis Johnson. Yeah.
Right. So you have Kirkwood and Smith, the youngins. Smith coming back from injury. You still got old man Ginn. You know, I mean, God, that's five receivers that you would expect a jump from Kirkwood and Smith. For sure. And then if Meredith is back healthy, then right. I mean, yeah, we ain't signing fucking nobody. I mean, it'd be stupid to waste money on it, because you still have like $5 million invested in Meredith if you keep him around.
Yeah. Well, there was this one article I read about, there was a receiver that somebody was claiming the Saints might be interested in.
On the internet, it's true, right?
Robert Quinn. That's who it was. Robert.
Well, that's with Okafor signing elsewhere. So your defensive end, you got Cam, you got Davenport, you still have we still have Trey Hendrickson at defensive end, but then we also signed Mario Edwards, defensive end. He was one of the free agent signings from the Giants. So I think defensive end. I mean, another. Thinking about trading for Quinn, but he's got a hefty salary number, so I don't expect that to happen. So then defense,
it seems like we're trying to patch all the holes as players.
But also, I mean, look, Davenport's going to be the guy. We traded 2 first-round picks for Davenport. He is going to be the guy.
Yeah. And he turned on the fire towards the end of the season.
Before he got hurt.
Before he got hurt.
Yeah. He was doing really well. So we're going to have him, and we got Hendrickson, and we got Edwards. We did sign the defensive tackle, Malcolm Brown, which we kind of needed. You know, because Tyler Davidson's a free agent, and now with signing Brown, I'm assuming Davidson's not back because Brown's the big guy in the middle. We got Onyemata, but he's got his little drug issue. Who knows if he's going to be suspended or not? And then
Okafor's gone.
Yeah. Well, I already said Okafor's gone, but Rankins will be out for the first half of the season too.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe Achilles, a defensive tackle.
And look, with Okafor, the Saints letting him walk. I mean, that makes sense. He got 3 years, $24 million.
Four years, 24.
$324 million.
I think that one we covered in the last episode. That was the one that had happened.
No, because free agency hadn't started.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you predicted all of it. Never mind.
but look. This guy, he got close to starter money, you know, and he's going to be a backup, just like what Jason was. He's going to be a backup to Davenport, so you have to let him walk. Thank him for all the shit he did for us, but I hate losing him. But I mean, I can understand why.
All right, that's enough of that. Let's get into looking at him tweets. Dalton, BRKREC, Breckreck. Anyway, he said, yeah, the Murray signing is blah, but I see Taysom Hill as the RB2.
And a tight end, too.
And a QB2. 3.
The news. 2.5. Like Mickey Loomis said, the joke around the office was, well, we need alignment. let Taysom do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, might have addressed this one already, but Who.NetStack did say, why sign Bridgewater to another one-year deal if he's supposed to be Breeze's eventual replacement if Breeze, in fact, does retire? After the season, he's going to demand truckloads of money to stay. But, Fitz, I think you actually answered that one. He ain't got the money to sign him for more. And he's going to want more, yeah. But nothing's going to be as much as Breeze is taking.
Well, they also rejigged his deal to free up some space this year. They added like a ghost year or something. I don't know, some crazy Loomis accounting.
Loomis math.
Yeah, Loomis math. So now we got like, we're going to have like $20 million dead money whenever Breeze isn't here, which whatever is fine.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, it'll be 2 years from now. And then even then, yeah.
But look, the cap keeps going up. I mean, it's up to $188 million this year. I mean, it could be up to $200 million next year.
I don't think it jumps up quite that dramatically.
I mean, you never know.
All right, Big Easy Mafia comes in with, where can a traveling Saints fan get a table bath in Louisiana?
Well, right there down Jefferson Highway, if you're in Louisiana. I mean, somewhere else, I don't know.
They don't have table baths?
I bet your Ash would know.
That was Ash that said that.
Oh, that was Ash?
Yeah.
No, if he comes here, oh, that's what he's asking. What happens?
Right. Okay. He might know where. He probably knows where they are in Wales.
He knows where they are in Wales. Right. Okay.
They call that a Welsh bath.
They. From what I heard, they know the thing of the Welsh.
Oh.
The Welsh don't take baths.
All right. Edward Townsend says, is it just me or is everyone besides Breeze saying it's probably his last year? Makes you wonder if Drew and the Saints have already talked, or do the Saints see his age affecting his game like we did at the end of the year, and are they going in a different direction no matter what?
It'll be interesting to see what happens after next year, because we are all assuming that this year is it. But
do you agree that the decline in, like, he declined at toward the end of the year? Do you agree with that assessment?
100%.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, could he have been injured towards the end, you know, as the season drags along. I mean, hell, one of those last in the game we got fucked in towards the end of the game. I mean, he threw a 50 something yard pass. The ball was in the air for 50 yards that he threw it again, so he can still get it down the field.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think a lot of it was the offensive line.
Somebody actually had a video, and I don't know. I don't remember what game it was. I think it was like week 10 or something, and I don't know who we were playing, but Breeze made a tackle on an interception, and that was kind of right around the time that there was a drop-off. So there was kind of speculation that maybe he got hurt around that time. But I think there was a little bit of a drop-off. He missed some throws, definitely. That championship game, that should have been a touchdown to Mike Thomas, and there was definitely some missed throws throughout the end of the season. So there's a little bit of a drop-off, but I'm hoping it was part of like maybe a minor injury or something, and next year he'll come back without any kind of drop-off again, you know?
Yeah, and it's how you use him, knowing that he's 41 years old or 40 years old, right? I mean...
Yeah, and that might have been part of the reason why they were mixing in Taysom a little bit here and there, too, is kind of take a little bit of wear and tear off of Drew.
I would. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the most important player.
Yeah. So, all right. That's all the tweets I'm going to go through. Let's see. I guess here let's run you through the gauntlet a little bit, Fitz. Let's hear a little bit more about you. So you told us a little bit about how you became a Saints fan already, but we didn't hear yet. Who is your favorite player from yesteryear? And usually when we ask this question, it's pre-2006.
Deuce McAllister. I've always been a fan of running back, so Deuce McAllister is definitely one of my favorites. Unfortunately, I kind of growing up, I was a big Emmitt Smith fan, just kind of followed them in the 90s, and then just kind of always been a running back fan. Barry Sanders, you know, all the classic running backs, and Deuce was really the first Saints running back that I really kind of fell in love with, you know.
Oh, yeah. All right. What about your favorite player from the Peyton era? And you can't say Breeze.
I don't know. Maybe Vilma. I kind of always. That's a tough one. Bush was. I know he wasn't always the best, but whenever he had a play, it was like lightning in a bottle. So it was Bush on offense and probably Vilma on defense.
All right, there. Good picks there. What about, all right, game day? You got season tickets. How do you prepare for game day? You have a routine?
So my father-in-law is actually the quote-unquote king of tailgate, and he's the guy you always see on Fox 8 and in the morning, Sparky. But he's always out there. He's got the corner crew right across from the Superdome where basically all the band comes out there, and they got all kinds of food out there. So every game, we're out there cooking early in the morning, just getting everything set up. And I've been pretty much doing that for a few years now. So just kind of do a little tailgate tradition there. He's got all kinds of sponsors. So it's actually a pretty big tailgate. It's probably like one of the best. It is the best tailgate in the city, in my opinion.
Shit, so, I'm gonna have to go stop by this tailgate now.
All right.
Yeah, y'all can come by. I think I sent y'all a message before to come by, but It's right across Poydras, Clara and Poydras, right there. That parking lot. You see he's actually got a there's like a white Saints bus. So you see the white Saints bus. That's us.
Yeah, I know.
Is that the one that's right? So like Poydras and like Poydras and like Claiborne over there on the I-10 overpass. That big lot on the corner right there.
It's the lot. It's on Poydras, but it's not by the bridge. It's directly across from the dome on that little side street, which is Clara is the side street. But they usually have like sometimes people buy out like half of. We buy out like a quarter of the parking lot for the corner crew, and everybody just kind of chips in money.
Well, damn, good shit. My office building. I'm in the. It used to be the Freeport building, DXC. That first big building. As you head downtown across the dome, that's my office building right there. So it's got to be right.
Yeah, so then it's a parking lot right next to that, then right across the street.
Okay.
Oh, get them some videos throw up on their YouTube channel.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, they got all the Saints super fans come out there, like Cyborg Saints out there, and Mac the Quack, and a bunch of those guys come out there, and the the Fat City Drum Corps comes out there before the game, and he's had Saints players, like past players, come out there before, and they've actually autographed the roof of his bus. He's in that the Fan Football Hall of Fame thing. So,
All right, Jeff. Well, you're gonna have to come in town for the first home game of the season, and we're gonna have to make an appearance.
I'll come in for a game. I don't know which one yet. We haven't seen the schedule look like. I'm not going to guarantee the first home game. What if it's a shitty game?
I don't know. Jeff, if you make one game, then you'll make more than me this season.
Oh, yeah, that's something we're going to have to dig into at some point. But next question for Fitz is, what jerseys do you own?
Shit, I got probably 10 different jerseys. A lot of them are old, though. I got the McAllister, Horn, a few Breeze jerseys. I think
how you say those are old.
Well, yeah, not a comparison to you, but
hey, fuck you, asshole.
I think the oldest I got.
Older than you.
Yeah, I have A-Bear Anderson Swilling Jackson.
Yeah, I think I got a Manning.
Even got a Danny Abramovich jersey.
Well, yeah, look, neither one of us bought the Manning new. You know?
Yeah, but I got a bunch of. I wanted to get Ingram, but I'm glad I didn't now.
Yeah.
It was fun. Well, but it's tough. Like, unless you get Breeze or. I mean, look, I bought my Vaccaro jersey that lasted 3 seasons, and then boop, bye-bye.
I got y'all all beat with my Junior Gillette jersey. and Darren Sharper. But I didn't buy the Darren Sharper one. I won it in a bowling tournament. Well, I won it in a raffle at a bowling tournament. I did not win
the one. You didn't win the bowling tournament either.
No. All right, let's see. Oh, Fitz, how did you find out about the Dome Patrol podcast?
.com.
I don't even know. Twitter, I guess. Just kind of somebody must have tweeted out a link or something. I've always just kind of kept up with the Saints on Twitter, and somebody must have tweeted y'all out or something. I don't know. I really don't even know. It's been 3-4 years now, I guess, I've been listening.
Okay. So, like, the first year you won Pick'ems was your first year listening, or had you listened, like, the year before that?
I think I picked up the year before that.
Okay. So it's always been Damon. Damon's always been.
Oh yeah, he wasn't here when Adam was still. Adam.
Yeah, but dude, I heard the guest appearances from Adam. That's about it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh wow, yeah. Sometimes it shocks me to think that we've been doing the show for 10 years.
I know, right?
Well, you haven't, but that's okay. I mean.
Well, we started in 2010.
Yeah, this was our 10th. Oh no, this
9 years. All right.
No. I mean, I'm not... Jake is only accounting. He's doing math. I can't do math.
Hey, whatever. When are we gonna go? When are we gonna go pay off our steak bet? You owe me a steak.
From what?
From this. Bobby Hebert not getting in the Ring of Honor.
But we had another bet that canceled that, and I forget. Can't remember what.
No,
it was.
We didn't.
We did have another. Yes, we did.
Y'all got like 3 steak bets going.
Exactly.
All right, Fitz. What do you like? What was it? Something that you listened to the show, but you kept coming back. What kept you coming back?
Well, I guess just the format of everything, how you guys kind of do a little bit of the look at them tweets and the Pick'ems, and just kind of like just having a little bit of everything. And I actually like the Marvel recaps y'all been doing lately, too. But I'm a big Saints fan, so I listen to the Nick Underhill one and this one. And that's
well, you won't
much,
anymore.
Yeah, no. We didn't even talk about that.
I know. Well, we poured a little out for him at the beginning, and then you just closed the book chapter on it.
Right? Oh, man. Like, they couldn't have taken Jeff Duncan instead.
I know.
Yeah, I have a commute. I have about an hour and 15-minute commute to work, so I usually listen to podcasts and on the road, so it works out good.
Yeah. All right, well, glad we can... make you laugh a little bit or entertain you in some way. But the next question is, do you think Aaron Brooks deserves to be in the Ring of Honor?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
And do you know the reason we asked that question?
I know.
I'm trying to think back.
That's Jason Bohr right there. Aaron Brooks, Jason's favorite team player of all time.
He did win us the first playoff game.
The playoff games, that's the only thing that – If it wasn't for that, no. But I mean, I don't know. That's a tough question. If I have to go with an answer, I go with no.
Okay. Well, who actually had more to do with that win? Aaron Brooks or Hakeem?
I mean, Aaron Brooks threw 3 touchdowns? Was it 4 touchdowns? He kind of had a lot to do with it.
But if Hakeem don't drop that ball, we lose that game.
Well, if the defense doesn't give up a bunch of late points in the second half, it doesn't come down to Hakeem.
Well, if the ref would have thrown a call, we'd be in the Super Bowl this year.
Ah, fuck you, Jeff. God damn it.
All right.
Fitz, last question. Who would you put in the Ring of Honor next?
How long do you have to wait till you put him in there? Because
who's the like youngest as far as like time they stopped playing to when they got in? Because they put some guys in there, didn't they already?
Rofe is the quote unquote youngest, I think.
No, Rofe?
There's not many in there. You got Morton, you got Ricky Jackson, you got Archie, and you got Rofe.
And Morton.
I said
Morton. And Mr. Benson.
He's the oldest of the bunch, but yeah.
So, who did they put in last year? Was it Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore? Or what, did they do those? Or they did something with them.
The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's the Hall of Fame. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at the list.
And I guess you don't. There's not a requirement to put somebody in every year, right? I mean,
no,
put people in.
But you would think the next people in will be from this.
I think the next person in is going to be Breeze.
Why not Deuce?
No. I don't see anybody up there.
What about Jari?
Perhaps.
Maybe Deuce. If Deuce isn't in there, maybe Deuce.
I don't think Colston. I think Jari Evans.
Why not Colston?
I mean, Colston has all the receiver records. All of them.
And he's a fan favorite. I mean, to me, a Ring of Honor has there's a level of fan favorite and love and the involvement as well.
Everyone up there now is an NFL Hall of Famer, except Archie. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's going to really take that sort of level. You know, and again, Jari Evans could be in that conversation. I mean, he's not someone who's going to make the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, on his first attempt. But yeah, I mean, I really don't see them putting anybody up there but Hall of Fame, you know. And then Archie is just a part of this organization, you know.
But that's right. That's the whole point, right? The Ring of Honor is somebody who.
Right. Okay. Archie. But who? Can you name me someone else that you know reaches Archie's level of where you think of the Saints? You think of that player?
Well, I think Deuce is building a resume. Maybe he doesn't get in right now, but if he stays on the radio. He's played. He's done. He was a great player when did play. He's an inspiration. He's a member of the community. He's active in the community. I think he's got He's got a resume for a Ring of Honor. I mean, do you go outside of players? I mean,
no.
You got Tom Benson, part of the organization. I mean, do you put like Jim Hawthorne in there? Or not Jim Hawthorne.
What is this? Yeah, Jim Henderson. Fuck.
Jim Henderson.
Yeah, I can see that. Henderson. That's a good. There you go. That's a very good look. Yep, I like that. Yep, Jim Henderson would definitely belong in the Saints Hall of Fame.
Because the play caller works for the Saints, don't they? Like the play caller, like Zach Streif and
Deuce. Yes, he does. That's right.
Saints. That so Jim correct. Henderson is a member of the Saints organization.
Yep.
All right, lock it in. There's your answer, Fitz.
That's it. Jeff gave you your answer. Jim Henderson.
Jim Hawthorne. And now it is time for Jason's, by popular demand apparently, Jason's MCU rewind.
Discussed was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I think.
Yeah.
So I've got two weeks. So the first one up was Captain America Civil War, which was kind of an Avengers, a half Avengers movie, considering you have so many characters. But again, you know, you have the fracturing of the Avengers kind of getting everything set up for a few movies down the line. But the big things here are the introduction of a couple of the new characters. You finally get a new Spider-Man in the MCU. You know, nobody thought that was ever going to happen. Luckily, Marvel and Sony struck a deal. So you get Spider-Man and you get Black Panther, both introduced in this movie. Two very good characters. Two characters are going to play a pivotal role moving forward.
Great introductions, too, both of them.
I mean, really good. Just the movie was done really well. And it's the Russo brothers. You know, they did Winter Soldier. They've done Infinity War and we'll be doing Endgame. You had the giant battle scene. That's kind of what everybody talks about, the giant battle scene. It's kind of a
literal Ant-Man giant.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You also have Ant-Man meeting the rest of the Avengers. I mean, one of the funniest lines, you know, Ant-Man was small. He's on the shield. He takes the shield and he goes, "I believe this is yours, Captain America." So
I think that was the first time Ant-Man did the big Ant-Man too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they.
First time, we learned he could do that, right?
Yeah,
yeah. They didn't talk about it, and it wasn't in any of the previews, thankfully. So that was a really, really nice surprise in the battle. But just that battle scene alone was a precursor to man. How can you have so many characters fighting? How can you make it work, knowing that Infinity War is coming up, and you've got even more characters than that. So I thought they weaved that in very well. You also had the great Stan Lee cameo of Tony Stank at the end. But overall, just a really great movie, made a shit ton of money, closed off the Captain America trilogy. Anything
I feel like
else?
You can say that about every Marvel movie, made a shit ton of money. I mean, isn't that pretty much...
at this point, yeah. Anything you got on it, Fitz? Anything... since you're a big Marvel fan like me?
No, I think Spider-Man, the whole him taking Captain America's shield and just introducing him and Black Panther. I think you pretty much touched it already, but that was definitely one of my favorites. All the Captain Americas are really my favorite. So
yeah, I'm like the Cap trilogy. I'm not just alone. Grown. I think Cap's been my favorite character for the last few years. Just really pulled it off. And just, I remember when they announced it, you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do Captain America. Like, how's that gonna work? Way back when.
I liked it. The Captain America movies are like spy movies, you know. They're a different type of movie than like an adventure, you know, high flying adventure type movie or something.
And they really hit a home run with Evans as Captain America. I mean, they really did a great job with it. So then, moving along from that, the most recent movie I watched was the Black Panther. So I'm trying to—I'm not doing it in the order that they were released to theaters. I'm trying to figure out how the timeline kind of works. So Black Panther and Spider-Man were kind of immediately after. So I hit Black Panther first. I'm going to do Spider-Man next. Black Panther, another really good movie. Again, made a shit ton of money. I mean, fuck, it made $700 million. Just in America alone. Had Ryan Coogler, the director.
That's almost enough to pay Breeze.
you know, really, really fully introducing Wakanda to the world, knowing that it's going to, again, play a big part in Infinity War. Had a really good villain in Killmonger, really grounded. And it was really kind of disconnected, other than the kind of end scene. With Winter Soldier, really kind of disconnected. I know there were a lot of rumors that Soul Stone would be involved, but no, that wasn't involved. It was kind of its own thing.
Oh, that's so racist. The Soul Stone. oh, not that kind of soul. Oh, never mind.
Everybody have up with the
Soul Train.
Up until that point, that was the last movie that was going to be released prior to Infinity War, and we still had yet to see that stone. So people just assumed, okay, it must be. That's how.
I mean, hold on.
We could use the whole train with the Godfather.
but it wasn't. It was, you know, vibranium. See, vibranium's not just the metal. There's a lot more involved. But I had only seen it. I saw it the one time in the theater, and I hadn't bought it, but I hadn't watched it again until I watched it this past weekend. And it's
Did you watch it on Netflix?
No, but I had Blu-rays for every movie except for Thor: The Dark World. I like having physical copies of the movies that I really.
So do I.
No, just a really good movie, really great entry. Jeff being a Walking Dead fan, you know, Michonne plays a big part. She's one of the warriors, right? But again, just a really good movie, a really good way to introduce Black Panther, who is going to be, you know, with some of the older guard moving on after Endgame. You've got the new characters stepping up, and a lot of that started with Civil War. You introduced Black Panther and Spider-Man. They're going to be big characters moving forward. So
now that you're, you know, 10 years into the movies, right? You're And you've been able to watch them in that condensed timeline. Do you notice any difference in the style or the quality, or is just anything? Is there a noticeable difference in what the first Iron Man and the first Captain America and all that versus what we're getting today?
I mean,
besides the cosmic element,
the Marvel movies do tend to kind of have a particular. I mean, there's a pattern. There's a kind of a formula. But going back and watching those earlier movies, they still hold up. Like, Iron Man 1 still holds up. I know it's – I guess maybe they're slightly more grounded because you don't have the space element now. But those movies still hold up 10 years later.
Iron Man definitely holds up. Look, when I read comics back in the 90s, I like sci-fi. I like Star Wars. Don't get me, you know, but I didn't like it in my comic books. It gets convoluted sometimes. I liked it when, I don't know, I felt like Iron Man. I mean, yes, these are all fictional movies, but they somehow kind of kept it more grounded. That makes, remember what Nolan tried to do with Batman, you know, his last series. I'm not a fan of all the space stuff. I put it that way. I'm not a fan of all the space.
Well, I guess you're not going to be a fan. Yeah, right. That's where they're going.
Right. No doubt. Right. And it's in comics. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not.
Yeah.
I love this. I like the Spider-Man and the Iron Man. But space just, you have so much. I don't know. That's why we got Star Wars.
Speaking of that.
Well, I mean, they're going to be bringing in the X-Men and the Fantastic Four soon with that deal with Fox officially closing today. So,
all right,
today?
It officially closed today.
Double
$71 billion.
So let's get quickly in a matter of minutes, I guess, before we wrap this up. I wanted to share this theory. I texted you guys about it, but what if the end
wrong.
Yeah. What if the end of Endgame, because this actually came from one of my kids. He asked me, he's like, so if they kill Thanos.
Why could you can't even pronounce Thanos?
I don't know. Hawthorne, Henderson, Samsonite. No, all right. So if they kill him, are they going to kill him like the moment right before he did the snap? So like everything that happened up to that point still has happened, or are they going to stop him from ever existing? So, or like at what point are they going to stop him to where Gamora comes back to life because none of that happened, or maybe even none of the events, even dating back to Iron Man 1, Captain America 1, really happened, so that they can reboot the entire system and they're not held or confined to the rules and the timeline and the stories that they've already told. It's like almost like a wild card that they're able to kind of reset the entire thing so that you can bring X-Men into the equation from the beginning again. Or I don't know.
There are a lot of theories about what's going to happen in this movie, and the trailers haven't really shown you anything.
No, really? I'm sure the trailers are just basically a headshot of each of the heroes.
I mean, look, if you think about it, they don't need to show a trailer. Like, people are so ready for this movie, they don't need to show a trailer for anything.
No.
But I do feel like if they kind of reset everything, I feel like that would be kind of a cheat.
I don't know. I get it. Like, that's what most people think, because every other show or movie that's done that, they've done it as a cheat. But I think it would make sense in this case, and I think that the fans would
would almost want, like, as a fan, I almost want that.
I wonder if
you have to get new actors to play the characters.
They may do, like, whatever happens, happens, you know, because there's multiple dimensions, multiple realities. The universe could move into a different reality where Tony Stark wasn't Iron Man.
But Tony Stank was.
Aha!
Hi, I'm Tony Stank, and I come to you with an idea. Probably one of the greatest... Nah, it's not for you. It's more of an alternate universe idea.
There is so much intrigue. I just do love the fact that they're not telling you really anything about Endgame.
And I don't want to... I'm glad...
I don't want to know.
I want 100% surprise.
They don't need to release another trailer as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm good. I'll be there opening weekend.
I've actually been avoiding the trailer because I hate when the trailer shows you the best part of the movie.
I agree.
That's mainly on comedy.
Yeah.
They get all the funny parts, like all the funny jokes. You're like, ah, oh, come on.
Yeah, but the Thor movie, that they ruined it. The Hulk showed up and kind of like, I don't know, that was one of the best parts that you knew it was going to come.
I know him. He's a friend from work.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, well, then we can't talk about Captain Marvel because Fitz hasn't seen it, and we're out of time, so we'll wait, and maybe we'll do a post-show after. Jason, you've got to go.
Oh, yeah, we'll give more people time to see it.
We'll dispense with the Game of Thrones and the final thoughts, unless anybody's got something pressing. Otherwise...
Look, yeah.
Who did Fitz have a final thought?
Just thanks for having me on, guys. I'll keep listening.
You better. All right.
Hey, come to the tailgate. That's the last thing.
All right.
And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, or on Instagram. You can also listen to us on your podcast app. And then there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye.
Go ahead, Fitz. Give us a bye-bye or something.
Yeah, bye.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
When I say there's a boy who bought his world and now he's getting lazy, there's no motivation and frustration, but you're crazy. Makes a plan to take a stand, but always in my city. Someone help him, my worry is gonna end up winning. There's a boy who fought his world and now he's getting lazy. There's a motivation and frustration, makes him crazy. He makes a plan to take a stand, but